Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GB. In this episode, I'll be doing my Week 16 recap, all that went on in the NBA, including the two major deals, well, two debuts that went opposite ways. Then also, Hubie Brown calls it a day. He retires, and we'll talk about the last game he covered. Also, Ben Simmons, he gets bought out, guys. You know, I got to talk about that as well, and a whole lot more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are just rushing through the season. So right now, we're just before the All-Star break. So you know all that'll be going on with that. I chronicled it in my last episode, the preview. But we must do our recap. And we'll be recapping Week 16, guys. So without any further delay, let's get into it. We'll start, as we always do, players of the week. And in the West, the Joker's at it again. Nikola Jokic for the Denver Nuggets had a heck of a week. Within that week, two triple-doubles he had. He averaged for the week nearly 30 points per game, almost 11 rebounds, and well over 10 assists. Like I said, the two triple-doubles, he's now at 24 triple-doubles on the season. So the Joker killing it in that regard. He shot it a whopping 65.7% from the field. Good gracious. Including the absolute destruction of the Phoenix Suns. Well, also, he had a monster game against the New Orleans Pelicans as well. He just had a great week. And then from three, he's shooting 41%, so you expect that from him. And of his 22 free throws, he missed only four. His team went 4-0 for the week, beating New Orleans twice, also beating Orlando, and then Phoenix. And actually, that game was at Phoenix. He had a 38-point game against New Orleans Pelicans. Oh, by the way, Michael Porter Jr., who had a fantastic week, he had 39 in that game. And then against Orlando, Michael Porter Jr. went crazy in that one as well. So, but Nikola Jokic, your player of the week in the West. And then in the East, Trae Young. See, it's funny because with Trae Young, usually around the All-Star break, he goes crazy because more likely than not, he gets snubbed for reasons unbeknownst to me. But Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks, his team went 3-1 for the week. They beat Detroit. Again, I talked about it with Ty. Detroit has been competitive all year long. They also beat Milwaukee. All these games were at home, and then on the road, they did beat the Washington Wizards. Their one loss was against the San Antonio Spurs at home. But nonetheless, over 31 points per game, 10 and a half assists, not close to two rebounds. He had two double-doubles for the week. He shot it over 48%, which is great for Trae Young. You know how he does. Just 34% from three. And then of his 34 free throw attempts, he missed five. So Trae Young, your player of the week in the East. All right, guys, let us continue. Top stories. You had two debuts for guys traded to their new teams, but you had different results. Anthony Davis, he makes his debut for the Dallas Mavericks on February 8th. And in that game, he plays very well. And they end up beating the Houston Rockets 116-105. And in that game, he played 31 minutes, 26 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 blocks. A monster game. But, guys, in that game, he suffers a abductor strain. And I watched the play. Yeah, it was like no one even really touched him unless it happened a few plays before. But nonetheless, he's out multiple weeks, unfortunately, for the Dallas Mavericks. So this, of course, puts him in jeopardy of missing the All-Star game. And in that instance, he's being replaced by his teammate, Kyrie Irving. So there you go with that. But Anthony Davis in his very first game, you know, the Dallas fans were already irate that you traded Luka Doncic. So now you add salt to the wound by Anthony Davis getting hurt in his very first game. So you know the Dallas fans are, you know, you got to talk them off the ledge. They're going nuts over there. So, but nonetheless, that was one debut. Jimmy Butler, on the very same day, he made his with the Golden State Warriors. And they got a road win. Actually, they blew him out. And they blew out the very first team that Jimmy Butler played on, the Chicago Bulls. And it kind of like a full circle moment, because the GM who helped initiate the Jimmy Butler trade, him coming to Golden State, is his former teammate, Mike Dunleavy Jr., who they both played together in Chicago. So kind of a full circle moment. He had a good game. He played 28 minutes, 25 points, 4 assists. And to me, he looks energized. Now, you could take that one or two ways. You know, he's just happy to be in his old situation, or he just kind of gave up on his old situation. So you figure that out if you want. But Jimmy Butler, and, you know, after the game, everybody was saying all the right things. He's just what we needed, you know, the shot in the arm that we needed, and he's saying the right things. He's happy to be there, and, you know, the floor spacing now that he gets with being on the floor with a Steph Curry kind of opens things up for him. So how far they go, we'll see. You know, they're still in need of some solid play in the post. So we'll see how far that takes them. But Jimmy Butler has a nice debut with his new team. So there you have it. All right, guys, let us continue. Hubie Brown does his last game as an analyst, and he does it on February 9th, a game that I watched. Philadelphia 76ers playing at Milwaukee to face the Bucks. In a game that was pretty much nip and tuck in the first half, and then Milwaukee and their bench was the big story in this. But, of course, the big story was Dame Lillard, who had an absolutely monster game. He had 43 points, of which he shot 8 threes. I mean, he was on fire. 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals for him. And then on the opposite side, you had Tyrese Maxey, who led the Sixers 39 points, of which he hit 5 threes, along with 5 assists and 4 rebounds. And Embiid, I'll talk about Embiid later. But the big story, like I said, the bench. Philly's bench, They scored 35 points, but Milwaukee's bench, how about 54 points? So there you have it there. But the big story, of course, is Hubie Brown doing his last game. Hubie Brown, whether it be coaching, whether it be his analyst work, has been in the game for, he started coaching in the NBA at 24. But prior to that, he had stints where he was, he got a start as a high school coach back in 1955. He was born in so he started first coaching in 1955. Wow. Yeah, that's well a long time ago, guys. He had a brief stint as a player for the Rochester Colonials, and this was in a league called the CBA at the time. But Hubie Brown, at the age of 91, is retiring, guys. He coached also in the ABA for the Kentucky Colonels. And then he went back to the NBA to coach both the Atlanta Hawks and my New York Knicks. And then he would do analyst work after he, like, in between the, let's see. After, during his time with the Knicks, he started doing analyst work. And he did it while he was with Atlanta for USA TV. Remember USA TV, guys? For those of you of a certain age. In 1981 is when he started doing analyst work. And then he would return to analyst work while with the Knicks. For CBS, he would work with the great Brent Musburger at the time. And then he ended up doing it full time starting in 1986 after he was fortunately fired from the Knicks. And his partner in the booth, Vern Lundquist. Then he was moved to lead analyst, working with the great Dick Stockton. He stayed with CBS until their contract was up. And then he did some local work for the Detroit Pistons, doing analyst work there, then for the Philadelphia 76ers, before TNT would come calling. And there he would stay until 2002, and that's when he jumped back into the NBA to coach, and he coached the Memphis Grizzlies, of which one of those years he won Coach of the Year. Then after coaching Memphis, he returned back to TV, working for ESPN and ABC, and that's where he would stay for the rest of his career. Working with the likes of Al Michaels, Mike Breen, who, oh, by the way, he did his last game with Mike Breen. Mike Tirico, he spent 10 years with him before Mike Tirico went to NBC to work for them. Other play-by-play guys he worked with, Mark Jones, Dave Patch, who also worked with the late, great Bill Walton, and Ryan Rucco as well. He was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in 2005 as a contributor. He won two sports Emmys in 1994, 1999. He was inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame in 2006. Oh, by the way, he went to college at Niagara and had a pretty, very good playing career there. And also the National Sports Media Association he was inducted into their hall, and that was in 2022 as a broadcaster. And actually, I had reported this in one of my recaps in November that he lost his son, Brendan Brown, back in November 3rd at the age of 54. And he was a play-by-play radio man for the New York Knicks. So Hubie Brown, there won't be too many Hubie Browns that come along. He's a guy who was able to get in that booth and teach you the game of basketball, what things to look for, whether it be on the offense, whether it be on the defense, paying attention to that. He was a teacher of the game. He ran many clinics here in the U.S. and abroad. I mean, the man was a student of the game and a teacher of the game. And the likes of him, you'll rarely see the likes of him in a booth again. Somebody who, you know, he gave you humor within the context of the game of basketball as well, but he was a straight shooter when it came to giving you the nuances of the game. So Hubie Brown, we salute you for a long career, whether it be in coaching or in your TV work as analysts. Enjoy your retirement years with your family. The family was all there at Milwaukee. There was interviews during the game with former play-by-play men that he worked with, whether it be Mike Tirico, Mark Jones. He also came through. Also tributes from Dick Stockton. Also Ryan Rucco, he did a video tribute as well. Dave Patch, he was interviewed and he did a tribute also. And then you had former players that would come and say something. Guys like Oscar Robertson. That's how long ago he was in there, guys. Also, Patrick Ewing had some beautiful words to say about him. Also, Paul Gasol, who he coached in Memphis. So a lot of love being showered on Hubie Brown, and well deserved, by the way. Well deserved. And they said something that kind of took me by surprise. He either coached or called the games for 80% of the NBA's players. 80%. Wow. That's how long this guy has been around. Gracious. Yeah, so he's seen it all. He's seen all the eras, you know, those 70s where the NBA was kind of struggling as far as money goes. And he saw the merger that took place, the ABA. Also, he saw the games on tape delay moved to prime time with Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and those guys there. He saw the Jordan era come in. He saw the likes of a Kobe Bryant come in, now LeBron. So he's seen it all. He's seen the flux of European players into the game. So he's seen it all. So again, salute to Hubie Brown on his retirement. All right, guys, so let us continue. Kevin Durant on the move in the offseason? Well, this subject was addressed on the Hoop Collective podcast. That's the podcast with Brian Windhorst, Tim McMahon, and Tim Botemps. And they were addressing that issue because, remember in my trade deadline breakdown that I gave you the news about Ramona Shelburne, what she reported as far as the Jimmy Butler trade, trying to trade him to Phoenix, and how Pat Riley actually wanted to do it for Kevin Durant, and how Pat Riley said, I'm not going to mortgage the future to do it, you know, giving up all this draft capital, because that's one thing about Pat Riley. He loves his draft capital. So that wasn't to be as far as that deal goes. So Kevin Durant obviously did not like the fact that he was the subject of trade rumors. So their feeling is they'll play out the season with him there, and then in the offseason they'll deal him. He has one more year, guys, and he'll be paid $54.7 million for that year. Tim Boltemp says that Phoenix should tear it all down. If you have to trade KD, Devin Booker, who's a valuable trade commodity, guys, tear it all down. As far as Bradley Beal, you can't really move him unless he gives the okay. Again, him and LeBron James are the only two players with a no trade. Again, wrap your mind around that if you want. But so what will happen? I think it'll be a busy offseason for the Phoenix Suns. You know, if you're a guy like Coach Mike Budenholzer, this is what you signed up for. You signed up for a team that's going to compete and be amongst the top in the Western Conference, but that's not to be, guys. So it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Phoenix Suns. And, of course, you know, I'll be watching closely, and I'll bring you whatever news comes out in that regard. So there's that. Moving on, Ben Simmons, guys. Ben Simmons has agreed to a buyout from the Brooklyn Nets, and he is now headed to the LA Clippers. And he's getting $1 million deal, guys. Now, Ben Simmons, he's in his seventh season out of nine seasons. He was drafted in 2016. And remember, he sat out the first year because he had the injury. Then he sat out another year with a bad back when he was traded to the Brooklyn Nets. So you're talking about two lost seasons, seven seasons total. He had three all-star appearances with the Philadelphia 76ers, and also made several all-defensive teams as well. So this is the guy, you know, and he gets slammed a lot. You know, Stephen A. loves to go at him. In fact, just the other day he was talking about it with Brian Windhorst and with Shannon Sharp, saying, because they were saying, did the Sixers waste Joel Embiid's peak years? And Stephen A., of course, put the blame on Ben Simmons for him being scared to put up a shot in those playoffs when they played the Atlanta Hawks. So, but the bottom line is Ben Simmons, the man is living a charmed life. He gets that buyout. You know, he has $39 million that's owed to him. So he's getting this one way or another. And then he lands on his feet going to the Clippers. Here's what he's done on the season, guys. He's played in 33 games. Actually, he's played in 62% of their games this season. You'd like to see better than that. He only plays 25 minutes a night, guys, averaging over 6 points, nearly 7 assists, and over 5 rebounds. Shooting at 54.7% from the field, but he doesn't take any more than 6 shots a night. And then from the free throw line, you know he's definitely afraid of that. Over 69% from the free throw line. So this is what Ben Simmons gave the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets, I'm sure, is happy to finally get him off the books. although his money was to fall off in the offseason. Anyway, right now, for 2025-26, the Brooklyn Nets have only $53 million on the books. And if they were to, they have $6.8 million in player options for Keon Johnson, who I think they'll keep. Also for Maxwell Lewis, not sure about him. And then Jalen Wilson. So they could be as low as $42.6 million on the books as far as salary goes for next season, which means they're going to have a boatload of money, guys. They have free agents like Bogdan Bogdanovic, who have yet to play a game this season. D'Angelo Russell, who they got from the Lakers. D'Anthony Melton, who I believe they moved him, but they're still on the books for his money. And then Trendon Watford, all unrestricted free agents. So the Brooklyn Nets are going to have a boatload of cash. What they do with that, we'll see. Again, I'm of the opinion that they need some star power over there. Maybe you bring in a Zion Williamson and cross your fingers and hope, you know, he comes over here energized to play. Maybe that's in the cards for them. You probably have to involve many teams in order to get that done. But they're going to have room to do a bunch of stuff. Who takes their money? We'll see what happens. So there you go. All right, guys, let us continue on. Injuries. Let's talk about those. Colin Sexton, he's to be out at least a week with an ankle sprain. And this happened in the first quarter of a February 3rd game, a game that they lost, by the way, to the Indiana Pacers. But Colin Sexton, so they probably keep him out until the All-Star break just to be on the cautious side with that ankle sprain. So, of course, there's more opportunity for Jordan Clarkson, who, oh, by the way, he made his return recently. And then Keontae George as well. So more opportunities for those guys, as well as Isaiah Collier, who's been tearing it up starting for the Utah Jazz. So you have that. Giannis Antetokounmpo, guys, he is out through the All-Star break with an injured calf. He last played on February 2nd against the Philadelphia 76ers. So this also rules him out of the All-Star game. And his place will be on, because he was on Team Chuck, and his place will be Trae Young. So Trae Young makes the All-Star game as a replacement. So kudos to him. I thought he should have been originally picked for the All-Star game. But so now this makes me perfect, if that's the case. So go figure, as far as my picks go. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, Milwaukee doing the wise and prudent thing, holding him out with that calf. He's been laboring through it all season long. So Giannis sitting out through the All-Star break. Jakob Poeltl, guys, he's out for three games and counting with a hip injury. And this happened on February 4th against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. So Jakob Poeltl, he sustained an injury earlier in the season, but now, again, siding on being cautious, they're going to probably hold him out until the All-Star break. Although I hear there's a chance of him playing on Wednesday, February 12th, we'll see. But Jakob Poeltl. And then also for the Toronto Raptors, RJ Barrett, he's out with a concussion, guys, that he suffered on February 2nd against the LA Clippers. And he's been out four games and counting. So I think also they'll err on the side of caution and keep him out through the All-Star break, guys. So you have two major injuries there for the Toronto Raptors. And three if you include Brandon Ingram, who they traded for. So there you have it there. So with Poulter out, this opens up opportunity for Chris Boucher, who's been there for the longest time. I think he's the longest tenured Raptor right now. And then Orlando Robinson, their young big also. Speaking of Brandon Ingram, he's still without a timetable, guys, as far as the ankle injury. He's been out since December 7th, guys. So he hasn't played since then. So still without a timetable. Maybe coming out of the All-Star break, you get a clearer picture. But right now, no real good news on Brandon Ingram. Alperen Sengun, he injures his back the first 3 minutes of a February 9th win against the Toronto Raptors, just speaking of them. His diagnosis is to be determined. Guys, if there could be a chance that he doesn't play in the All-Star game, if that's the case, maybe you replace him with his teammate, Jalen Green, or you pick a Domantas Sabonis. I would go either one of those guys. But we'll see as far as the injured back goes, what the diagnosis is. So in the interim, you'll see more play from Steven Adams. He'll probably move up in the pecking order. And then recently acquired Cody Zeller also. Now, LaMelo Ball, he makes his return back after missing 5 games with an ankle injury. And he does it on February 7th in a win versus the San Antonio Spurs. A game he plays very well, 36 minutes. So he had his normal minutes, guys. 24 points, 10 assists, and 4 rebounds in that game. So LaMelo Ball back for the Charlotte Hornets. Of course, they're going to err on the side of caution. So if it's back-to-backs, he probably won't play the second end of a back-to-back. So, but LaMelo Ball back for the Hornets. Luka Doncic, he's to make his season debut with the Lakers on February 9th against the Utah Jazz. He had missed 22 games with the calf injury, guys. So I'll give you the full breakdown of that game probably at some point. So, bear with us in that regard. And then I want to talk about Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid admitted just recently that he probably needs to have surgery on that left knee. That left knee that's been bothering him all season long. Even some in the Olympics that he participated in. So he said he'll need surgery on it if it's not feeling better by season's end. So basically, guys, he's playing through the left knee injury. He's played only 16 games out of 52 games thus far, guys. He's averaging less than 30 minutes, which is his lowest in 5 years, guys. And averaging nearly 25 points a game, also his lowest in 5 years. He's averaging 8.3 rebounds, guys. His second lowest rebound average of his career. 4.5 assists. He's shooting it only 45.6% from the field, which is atrocious for him. Over 34% from three, and then nearly 88% from the free throw line. So, Joel Embiid, Now, he had made his return on February 4th in a win against Dallas, a game that he had a triple-double in, guys. 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. But, guys, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers right now, your season pretty much looked like it's kind of a wash, where you're not really getting any traction. And, oh, by the way, what has happened to Paul George? I watched that game, QB's last game, by the way, of him doing analyst work. And Paul George, I was like, where is this guy? He was pretty much MIA. He was very passive. It was Joel Embiid earlier in the game, and then in the second half, he disappeared. So I figured with that, Paul George would, you know, kind of step up. He didn't do that. So I'm like, what in the world is happening with Paul George here? I understand. I get it. You know, trying to be the third fiddle for that team is an adjustment for him. Mind you, he was second fiddle with the LA Clippers. But in those instances where you see Joel Embiid just doesn't have it, you got to step up, man. Tyrese Maxey is carrying the load pretty much on his own. You got to help the young kid out. So I don't know what's happening with Paul George over there. But we'll see what happens. So that's my take on Embiid in that regard. I'm of the mindset they should just shut him down. They should just shut him down, take an L on the season. I think, to me, they're kind of far back, even as far as the play-in goes. So do you risk Joel Embiid, especially when you gave him that extension, that three-year extension you just gave to him? Do you risk that in order to try and make a play-in? I don't think you do it, but, hey, it's not my call. That's the Sixers organization. That's up to them, so we'll see what happens, but that's my take on that. And then Cam Johnson for the Brooklyn Nets, he returns after missing 6 games, and he does it in a February 5th loss to Washington, where he plays 25 minutes and has 17 points. But there you have it there. All right, guys, so let's do some top performances before we get out of here, and also my big three. Let us go with Jalen Brunson. Oh, my gosh. Against the Houston Rockets on February 3rd, he goes absolutely nuts. 42 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals in that win over the Rockets. Jalen Brunson just playing all-star basketball, guys. Also in that game, Cat Karl-Anthony Towns, 22 points, 9 rebounds. Mikal Bridges, he has 22 points in that. But for the Rockets, our man Thompson, he's been playing fabulous, guys. He has a triple-double, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, and add to that 2 steals. So, but the story here, Jalen Brunson, yes, our captain clutch for the New York Knicks. Let us move on. DeAndre Ayton, I haven't talked about him in a while, guys. He drops a 20-20, 25 points, 20 rebounds for the Portland Trail Blazers in a win on February 3rd against the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are getting obliterated from centers. And DeAndre Ayton, mind you, a former Sun, so you know there was extra venom for him in this one. And also in this game, Dene Avaji, he has 24 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. A double-double for Anthony Simons, 13 points. He did shoot it lousy, 4 for 16 from the field, but he has the 10 assists. And then for Phoenix, Devin Booker, 34 points. Also, Kevin Durant, he has 27 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. And then Bradley Beal, you know he's coming off the bench for them, 25 points, but not enough to beat the Portland Trailblazers, for crying out loud. So there you go. Alperen Sengun, before he gets injured, of course, he drops a 20-20, 24 points, 20 rebounds, 4 assists, but he does it in a loss to the Brooklyn Nets at the Barclays Center, by the way, guys. Karl-Anthony Towns, he drops a 20-20, 27 points, 20 rebounds for the New York Knicks on February 4th in a win at Toronto, guys, in a game where Jalen Brunson doing his thing, 28 points, 5 assists, and then for Toronto in the loss, Scotty Barnes, 23 points and 5 assists. And, oh, by the way, this is the game where Jakob Poeltl, where he gets hurt with the hip injury. So, but there you go. De'Aaron Fox, in his debut with the San Antonio Spurs, remember, he comes over in the trade from Sacramento, 24 points, 13 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Pretty good assist total for just coming over there to a new team. And he does this in a February 5th win at the Atlanta Hawks, guys. And this was a very close game. In fact, it took a Wimby free throw, game-winning free throw, to win this for the San Antonio Spurs. And speaking of Wimby, he has a double-double, 24 points and 12 rebounds. And Trae Young, you know, he had a fabulous, fabulous week. This is the game, the one game he lost, by the way, but he had a phenomenal game. 32 points, 12 assists. Onyeka Okongwu, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists for him. Let us move on. Couple of scoring explosions, guys. Two of them for Anthony Edwards. He has a 49-point game, of which he hits 6 threes, along with 9 rebounds, and he does this in a February 5th win against the Chicago Bulls. And then the very next night, guys, he drops 41 points, of which he hits 5 threes, along with 7 rebounds and 6 assists in a win against the Rockets. So Anthony Edwards, you could have made a case for him being player of the week, but, you know, you got to overtake you, the Joker, which is always hard to do, but there's that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he drops another 50-point game. 50 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals in a February 5th win against the Phoenix Suns. A game where they had no Kevin Durant, so, but SGA getting it done. Oh, by the way, this is his third 50 piece that he's put up this season, marching his way towards a possible MVP award. So there you have that. LeBron James, at the age of 40 years old, still getting it done. 42 points he scores on February 6th in a nationally televised game against the Golden State Warriors. This was actually on TNT. And along with the 42 points, 17 rebounds, 8 assists in that game. So the vintage game from LeBron, vintage game from Steph as well. He had 37 points, 6 threes he drops, along with 7 rebounds, 4 assists in that game. Let us move on. Oh, Malik Beasley. He's been playing very well for the Detroit Pistons. He has a game in which he scores 36 points, but he drops 9 threes. And he does this in a win over the Philadelphia 76ers. And in that game, I believe there was no Cade Cunningham in this game, so he had to step up. So he drops the 36. Tobias Harris with 22 points, 9 rebounds, and then a double-double for Jalen Durant. 13 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists in that game. And then Maxey again carrying the load, 27 points, 7 assists. Embiid, 23 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. And Kelly Oubre with a double-double, 14 points, 11 rebounds. Speaking of Devin Booker, 47 points for him in a February 7th overtime win against the Utah Jazz. Another game with no Kevin Durant playing. But along with his 47, he has 11 assists and 6 rebounds in that game. Nick Richards, their newly acquired center that they got recently, double-double for him. 12 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks. And then on the losing side, Walker Kessler with a near 20-20 game. 19 points, 22 rebounds, and 3 block shots. A double-double for Isaiah Collier. This kid has been playing well. 15 points, 13 assists. And Kyle Filipowski off the bench, 11 points, 11 rebounds. Jason Tatum, he drops a 40-piece on my Knicks, unfortunately, in the February 8th win at the Garden. So 40 points, of which he hit 7 threes, along with 6 rebounds, 4 assists. And in this game, there was no Kristaps Porzingis and no OG Anunoby. He's dealing with an injury now, so haven't really talked about that, but so that's what Tatum does in this game. Jalen Brunson with a monster performance, 36 points, 5 assists. Karl Anthony Towns with a down game, just 9 points and 9 rebounds. Wow. Zion Williamson, guys. I was just talking about him. He drops a 40-piece in a February 8th loss at Sacramento, guys. He has 40 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. But they lose that game to Sacramento. Domantas Sabonis with a monster game for him, 27 points, 16 rebounds. Newly acquired Zach LaVine, 22 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. And then along with Zion's 40, you have 31 from CJ McCollum, which he hit 6 threes and 6 rebounds. And then Cade Cunningham with another triple-double on February 9th in a win over Charlotte. So Cade Cunningham still riding high for the Detroit Pistons and that team there. All right, guys, so one last thing, my big five, here's how it goes. Number one, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They haven't been losing the beat, guys. They've been phenomenal. And now they're supposed to get Chet Holmgren back actually this week. So, of course, I'll report on that. Also, you go to number two, the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's been those two right at the top all season long, Cleveland and OKC. Third place, Boston's been stuck in third place all season long. Fourth, Memphis Grizzlies, who's playing well. You got your full complement of players now. Ja Morant's back on the scene. So they've been playing great. And then fifth is my New York Knicks. And you know what they've been doing. They've been taking care of business. All right, guys. So that's it for me. I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketballwithgd.com is the website. There you will find all my episodes, all my shorts. Support buttons, guys. Support this show. I say it each and every week, guys. Your support goes a long way in helping this show, bringing you this content and a whole lot of other stuff as well. Hopefully getting to some games. I haven't really got to too many NBA games this year except for the Vince Carter jersey retirement. I went to that. Other than that, haven't been to a Knick game yet. Planning to go to a watch party soon. I'll talk about that. But, yeah, your support is important. So, buy me a coffee. That's my button that's on the website. PayPal's on the website also. Spotify donate as well. My Cash App is streaming there at the bottom. $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. Email the show, guys. That's sportsdudegd at gmail.com. Again, that's sportsdudegd at gmail.com. There you can write. I will actually, you know, reach content on the air if possible. So there's that. YouTube, I'm there. I put my videos on LinkedIn, Blue Sky. Been dropping them there. Haven't dropped them on Fanbase yet. Would like to do that. TikTok, create my shorts there also. So you have that. Social media, Instagram, TikTok, also Blue Sky, Fanbase, Facebook, not too much. X, not even there. Don't even look for me there. So there you have it. All right, guys. So the next time you hear from me, I like to still do that Knick midseason report. I have it here. I just got to make space to do it. Your All-Star game is coming up, guys. So I'm going to give you a breakdown of the whole weekend, all that went down. I'll give you that and a whole lot more. So thank you for listening. As always, my faithful listeners, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate each and every one of you. Your listenership is important to this show. I actually had a guy on YouTube. He watched the whole video where I was talking about WNBA free agency. So we had kind of a back and forth with that. I appreciate that kind of feedback. And it's just great. All right, guys. I thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.